Good to be with you all today. Happy Mother's Day to the moms out there. Special day for you, as it should be. Trust you folks had a great week. You don't look too battered or bruised or wore out, so that's good. And if you are, it's a good place to be to regather our strength, as it were, for what lies ahead. We've been taking a look at this topic of our spiritual gifts. And we're going to continue to do that here this morning. And I want to get specifically into the gifts themselves today. We kind of laid some groundwork and talked a little bit about the reason for the gifts and where we get the gifts and those sorts of things, just some general stuff. But I want to specifically begin today to look at the actual gifts one at a time. I don't know how far we'll get today, but we'll begin to go through. There's about three specific lists, and that's sort of in general. There's a few other places, and certainly the list that we're going to look at, I would argue that it's not all-inclusive in regards to the spiritual gifts that we receive, but and some of the items on the different lists kind of cross over. But anyway, we're going to start to look at the specific gifts that the Bible does speak of that we have as believers. And we'll go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. This will be the list we at least begin with. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And I want to kind of work through it systematically. So as the verses list the different gifts in the different passages that we're going to look at, we'll just address them one at a time and talk a little bit about them. And just before we pray, remember that some of the gifts that we're going to look at are gifts that enable. Some of them are talking gifts. Some of them are sign gifts. Some of them are assigned gifts. So there are different categories to these gifts, and we'll sort of address them one at a time as we look through them, and again, in the order that we read them here in Scripture. But right off the bat, when you think about your spiritual gifts, before I pray again, what is one way that you might describe them, the spiritual gifts or the gifts that God gives to us? If you were to sort of summarize them for us as Christians, what are they to us?
Supernatural.
Yeah, supernatural. And actually, that's a good word to use because it's correct, number one. But I was thinking a fun way to put it would be there are superpowers. So super's in there. Talk to the kids Friday night about superheroes. And we mentioned the superheroes of the Bible, right? We talked a little bit about some of those guys and mentioned some of them. And specifically, we talked about Daniel. And his superpower certainly would have been the gift of faith. At least he demonstrated that in his prayer life. But as Christians, we have superpowers. And it seems a little immature, a little silly, a little juvenile to suggest that, except that that's the truth. And despite the fact that the world has sort of twisted things and has augmented our reality when we think about fantasy and fiction and reality, the truth is the Bible teaches us that through the indwelling Spirit of God, we as followers of Christ who have put our faith in Him receive supernatural spiritual gifts. We don't get them when we're born. We get them when we're born again. And we get them according to God's will and God's timing. And these are supernatural gifts. These are superpowers. And they're gifts that God does and will use to edify and to build His church. And it's not the only super thing that we think about. We talked about the armor of God. Again, a supernatural gifting of this armor, this protection that we can utilize. And of course, the fruit of the Spirit. We could classify that as being certainly a work of the Spirit of God that bears fruit in our lives for the glory of God and for the benefit of others, and certainly including the church. So the Bible is filled with amazing supernatural truths, things that apply to us, things that we can discover and learn and appreciate, things that the world has to create and invent. But in Christendom, it's reality. And Satan always counterfeits, doesn't he? Hey, let's get your eyes off the supernatural gifts that God will give you, and let's talk about pretend gifts that aren't really going to help anybody except ourselves and our own fame and fortune. And so we sometimes miss some of the greatest treasures and the greatest gifts that God has for us because we look at the world and we're caught off guard or we're distracted by the glitter and all the wonderful fantasy-type things, when in actuality, God offers us the real thing, and it's so much better. And so I'm thankful for that. And as we look at some of these gifts, I want us to recognize them in our lives as being that, superpowers. It's a funny word to use, a funny phrase. But they are certainly supernatural gifts that God has given to each of us as believers, and He wants us to use them and to develop them and to mature in them for the glory of Christ and for the edification and the building of His church. So just consider that as we pray, that each of you, each of us, have gifts that are given to us from God, and God wants us to develop and use those gifts for His glory. And as we go through these lists over the next few weeks, we'll hopefully discover what those gifts are and how we can use them. Let's pray. Father, thank You again for this morning, our Sunday school hour. We pray for the children downstairs and those teachers that instruct and help. Lord, we pray for the group upstairs, Father, and for the other group as well that's meeting with Guy. We just ask, God, that in every class and every fellowship together here today, that we would just benefit from Your word, that we would listen intently and understand, Father, and that we would, Lord, honor You and praise You as we meet together today. Thank You for the gifts that You allow us to have as Your children, Father. And we pray that You would help us to understand, each of us, what these gifts are and how to use them for Your glory and for Your honor. And we thank You for them. They are truly gifts. And so God bless our day today. We do want to thank You, Lord, for our mothers in our midst. We'll take some time to honor You by acknowledging them, the gift of moms. So we just pray, God, that You bless our day today. All that we do for Your glory and honor, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So 1 Corinthians, chapter 12. Let's just reread those first few verses, and then we'll get started on the first gift, and that's going to be the word of wisdom gift. The gift of the word of wisdom. Let's starting in verse 1 here. It says, "Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant." Again, Paul doesn't want us, or the church, certainly in Corinth, or the Lord doesn't want us here today to be ignorant of our gifts. You have them. God wants us to know about them. What are they? And so this is sort of the journey that we're on, discovering about these gifts. "Ye know that you were Gentiles carried away unto these dumb idols, even as ye were led. Wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord but by the Holy Ghost. Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit." So verses 2 and 3, just to say that before we came to faith, we were maybe confused or deceived by different gifts and different things in our world, and what is supernatural and what is not. But as children of God, children of the faith, children of the way, as we follow Christ and learn from His word, we're not ignorant of the supernatural gifts of God. We don't have to be. We can come to understand them and learn them, learn about them. And these gifts, there's different gifts, or the diversity of gifts, but the same Spirit. And so these gifts come from the Spirit of God. They come from God, the same place. And, you know, it's true, as parents, we give different gifts to our children. One child might be interested in this, one child might be interested in that, or you might know your children, you might know what gift would be a blessing to them or a help to them. And so God does the same thing with us. Through the Spirit of God, He divvies up those gifts according to His will. Verse 5, "And there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all." So different ministries, different applications of these gifts in different ministries. Verse 7, "But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal." So the gifts that we have are for the profit of all of us. And that's the best thing about these gifts. Your gifts that I may not have will still benefit me. This is one of the things that the Church of Corinth forgot. They all wanted the same gift. We want to all have the gift that seems to bring the most fame and glory. The gift that people like to talk about the most and point to other people too is this gift of tongues. At least that's what Paul dealt with. And people wanted to profit more themselves than to help everyone else. And Paul really made the point, you're not actually helping anybody. It's confusion. And we need to think about the gift of love, and we know about all those things. But the point is, when it comes to these gifts, it's for the benefit of all of us. So your gifts benefit me, and my gifts benefit you. So I don't have to covet your gift. I don't have to wish that I had different gifts, or say that, well, God didn't give me very good gifts. Other Christians got better gifts than me. No, we need all of these gifts. And that's the reason why it's so important that we're faithful, that we gather together, that we use our gifts, because I need your gifts and you need my gifts and so on and so forth. So these gifts benefit all of us. Verse 8, it says, "For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom." So again, this gift is the word of wisdom, and it's given to us, or to some, Here it says, to one Christian, one individual might receive the gift of the word of wisdom. And this is the first gift on my list. So I want to just share the definition. And that way we're all on the same page in regards to what this gift is. But I'm sharing these gifts from a Baptistic fundamental view. I think you know that. But that's important to reiterate, because the way that I describe these gifts and the way that I believe Scripture teaches us about these gifts might be different than different organizations and other religions around the world. But I believe through the leading of the Holy Spirit of God, and I think that we can easily see how these gifts are meant for us to be used. So the first one is the Word of Wisdom gift. Here's the definition. This gift, mentioned in verse 8, is given by the Holy Spirit, and it enables someone to understand and communicate biblical truth in such a way as to skillfully apply it in life situations with wisdom and discernment. So that's my definition with some help from different individuals that I read. But to put it in a more concise way, it's the gift of communicating spiritual wisdom. It's the gift of being able to apply as well and communicate spiritual wisdom. I jotted down that this gift is a problem-solving, peace-making gift. And as we go through this, you'll understand more clearly what I mean. But this is really what this gift is a big benefit to the church for. It's a problem-solving and a peacemaking gift. It's a gift where wisdom is not only understood, but applied. And those that have this gift will help apply the wisdom of God's Word. I jotted down the gift of knowing what to do and... the gift of knowing what to do with what you know and sharing it with others. The gift of knowing what to do with what you know and sharing it with others. 1 Corinthians 12 and 1 Corinthians 14, in both those chapters, it reminds us as to the reason for the gifts. Again, it's to edify one another and to build the church. This gift is a communicative or speaking gift. I know I'm throwing a lot of words at you here, but just bear with me. So this gift specifically is used in regards to our communication. It's communicating the word or the wisdom of God. And this is a gift that some people have. Jotted down also that the Bible says, in regards to what the Bible teaches, that it's really the ability of practicing what you preach in a way that helps others practice what is being preached. Let me read a few examples here. This is a gift that is distinct from general wisdom. So all of us have wisdom. We learn from the Word of God. But this gift is a little unique. It's a Spirit-led wisdom. I jotted down also that this gift, here are some examples, is applied in conflict resolution. So I'm going to read this and then I'll ask some questions. So for example, the gift of wisdom, here's one way that it can be applied in regards to conflict. Someone with this gift might step up during, let's say, a divided discussion or a divided meeting. One member of the body of Christ offers a quiet and insightful scriptural application that unexpectedly brings unity and peace and consensus when everyone else is perhaps a little confused or frustrated. I don't know if you get my meaning, but there's time to time when a believer has the ability to sort of speak up. And I believe it's as the Spirit leads, they offer this gift of wisdom. Hey, you know what the Bible says? And somebody might quote a verse of Scripture. So let me give an example. You're sitting around. There's a bunch of Christians. We're trying to decide what to do. We don't know. We're trying to make the best decision. And we just can't come to a conclusion. This way seems like a good way. This way over here seems like a good way. What do we do? And then as we're trying to discuss this and we're a little frustrated and no, I don't think that's good and no, I don't think we should do this, somebody quietly and confidently reminds me in the group to say, or by saying, hey, the Bible says to pray about all things. The Bible says to lean not unto our own understanding, but in all our ways we should acknowledge God, and He will direct our paths. The Bible says to seek first the kingdom of God, and all these other things will be added unto us. We should stop and just pray about this, and let's trust the Lord's leading. And it might seem like a small and a very religious and a very cliche exercise to do that or to say that, but that is the gift of wisdom. when I'm able to be comforted and my spirit is able to be, kind of collect itself because someone has reminded me of what the Bible says and has helped encourage me to apply it. In other words, practicing what I preach. And so the gift of wisdom is when somebody has this gift, they're able to remind me of what the Word of God says and to kind of show me and to remind me how to apply that scripture truth. And so in a frustrated meeting, there can be resolution. We might be in disagreement. Some Christian might say, hey, we're all in the family of God here. Let's be careful with our tone and our attitude, and let's just trust the Lord. Well, someone that might say that would have the gift of wisdom. And they're applying scriptural truth at the leading of the Spirit of God to keep us as a body collectively in the will of God so that, you know, there's not disarray or chaos or division. So that's one example of the gift of wisdom. Or the gift of the word of wisdom. Does anybody have any comments or thoughts? I've got a few other examples I want to share, if it's not clear, but and it might not be. But does that make sense? Any questions or thoughts on that? The gift of wisdom. Let me share a few other examples. Another example would be perhaps I guess I shared a little bit about this, decision making. But also, what about counseling? There are those that have the gift of wisdom or the word of wisdom, and they're great counselors. And I've sat with people that have this gift, and they've provided me with counsel. Let me just read what I've jotted down here in regards to counseling. A teacher gives a deeply relevant, tailored word of encouragement or guidance that addresses a person's hidden, deep-seated problem, helping them to turn from despair to faith. You know, I've sat with people that are able to help me see something from a different perspective using the Word of God, and all of a sudden my idea or my attitude or my perspective changes, and I think, huh, yeah, that's true. I've never thought of that before. Thank you. That really helps. And it's the gift of the Word of wisdom that individual has that's able to share Scripture in such a way that it helps. And not only to share the truth, but to help me apply it. Here's what that means. Let's pray about this. Let's trust the Lord. Let's wait on the Lord's timing and be patient and long-suffering. And so someone with this gift is able to help actually me understand what the Word of God says and to apply it. And it's that gift of wisdom that will get us through a lot of challenges in our lives. Proverbs 20, verse 5. Let's turn there. I think this verse is a great verse in sort of demonstrating what the gift of wisdom looks like. What did I say? Proverbs chapter 20, sorry, verse 5. So it's kind of an interesting verse here in Proverbs. It's not always easy to maybe understand, but Proverbs chapter 20, verse 5. Says this, counsel in the heart of a man is like deep water. So the counsel, the instruction, the wisdom, the knowledge, the information that I need might be deep down inside somewhere of me or deep down inside some one of you. And then it says, but a man of understanding will draw it out. So I might have the verses of Scripture hidden in my heart, and I might be confronted with an issue, but I'm not connecting the dots. Someone with the gift of the Word of Wisdom might be able to remind me of what Scripture says, pray with me, and draw that wisdom out, and help me put the pieces together, help me to understand, you know, you're right. The Bible does say, lean not into mine own understanding, but to acknowledge Him. I never thought of that. You're right, I should pray about this. And then there's a promise that says He will direct my paths. So I can trust that. Thank you for that reminder. Thank you for drawing that out of me. Thank you for helping me to remember that and to trust God's Word. And again, this is just another example of the gift of the Word of Wisdom. Someone that's able to remind or point someone to the Scriptures and help them apply the Word of God. Does anybody have any other examples or thoughts or comments on any of those things? Well, let me just ask the question, not really rhetorical, but just to consider the question. There are, and I'm sure, probably many here today, even in this room, that have this gift. And I know that because I could probably state a few people that I sort of recognize you have this ability of reminding people of the Word of God, drawing that wisdom out, and helping them to apply it and to take some faith or comfort or hope in what the Scriptures teach. And what's so wonderful about the Spirit, about the gift of the Word of Wisdom, is it's often instantaneous. Let me just read here the last little phrase I have. This gift is often tied directly to fervent prayer, deep knowledge of the Bible, where the Holy Spirit illuminates specific treasures of wisdom at the exact moment they are needed. And that's what's so supernatural about this gift. Have you ever said something to somebody, and then later on you thought about it, and it really helped that person, and you thought to yourself, I'm not smart enough to come up with that. You know, that's the Spirit's help. And there are those that are so gifted in this way, they have this specific gift that we often will go to them and seek that counsel and seek that help. And they're able to draw that wisdom out. They're able to help us apply the Word of God. And it's, again, this is the gift of the Word of Wisdom. Any other thoughts or comments on any of these things? Go to Acts chapter 16. I think this is one place where we can sort of recognize that this gift is being applied. We looked at this not too long ago, so it should still be fairly fresh, at least in our morning service. We looked at this. But in Acts chapter 16, you remember this scene here, church, probably, when the missionaries are doing their mission work, the churches are being revisited, and there's this little scene here starting in verse 6. And you can see the Spirit working, and those with the gift of the Word of Wisdom would have helped. It says, now, when they had gone throughout Perga and the region of Galatia and were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the Word in Asia, after they were come to Mysia, they essayed to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit suffered them not. And they, passing to Mysia, came down to Troas, and a vision appeared unto Paul in the night. There stood a man of Macedonia, and prayed, saying, come over unto Macedonia and help us. And after he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go unto Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called for us to preach the gospel unto them. So there's no specific mention of this gift, or even an individual that applied it. But within the confines of this verse, there were decisions made. We're not going to go here. We are going to go here. We're going to head to Macedonia. We're going to talk about this at the end of verse 10. It says, go to Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord hath called us for to preach the gospel unto them. There was a lot of people involved in this. And what helps make these decisions are those that are able to counsel, those with the gift of the Word of Wisdom, telling other Christians we can trust the Lord or follow His commands or obey His teaching and helping us to apply it. Anyway, any thoughts or comments here on the Word of Wisdom gift? The only other application would be modern day. There's a lot of examples as to how we could apply the gift of the Word of Wisdom, taking God's Word and applying it in situations that are modern like today. Because there's a lot of confusion. So, for example, someone might say, well, I don't know which religion is the right one. Someone with the gift of the Word of Wisdom is able to draw out the Word of God and help folks apply it. Well, here's what the Bible says. Likewise, with certain decisions people might make about their health or about, you know, relevant things, hot topic issues of the day, those sorts of things, the Word of God and those that are gifted in this way with the Word of Wisdom can help us make decisions whether we should or shouldn't do things or shouldn't believe things or shouldn't involve ourselves or participate in certain things. Sometimes it's a little confusing. A lot of wordplay in our world today, and we hear things and we wonder, is that actually true? Is this a right or a just thing, or maybe not? We live in a world that calls evil good and good evil, so someone with the gift of the Word of Wisdom can help us and direct us in making decisions about things that can be a little bit confusing. All right, enough said about that gift. Any thoughts as we move on here this morning? communication or a speaking gift. And it's one that, again, helps with problem solving, peacemaking, those sorts of things. All right, let's keep going through the list here in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Next on the list, verse 8, it says, "For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit." These two gifts are closely connected, but there is a difference. And I'll say this again, this is the Baptistic fundamental position, the way that we, of course, address these gifts. Others would use this gift, the word of knowledge, to suggest that there's some new revelation that God has given to them. And I won't speak on this very long, but I know an individual that was told that once, that God had told this individual to go to this person and tell that person that this was what God was going to do for them. Except it didn't happen. It didn't work. The opposite happened, and it really hurt this individual. And we see clearly that there are those that sometimes pretend or that make up versions of the gifts that the Spirit of God gives to us. So the word of knowledge isn't new revelation. I don't have a dream in the middle of the night and then claim that God told me something that He wants everyone to know. And then I have everything God wants me to know in the word of God. And we'll get to this again when we talk about the gift of prophecy. But the gift of knowledge is this. Let me read the definition. Again, this is a speaking gift or a communication gift, and it's the communication of truth. According to fundamental Baptist theology, again, this is where we're coming from, the gift of the word of knowledge is generally understood as the Spirit-empowered ability to understand deep truths of God's word and who can teach or apply these spiritual truths with discernment and insight. Again, this is for the use of the body of Christ. And what's an example of someone with this gift? Well, it's the ability to speak wise, profound, or hidden truths from the Bible, deep doctrines that might be difficult for most of us to understand. So we think about things like eschatology. Someone who is studying eschatology or understands the end time teaching of God's Word might go out of their way to do a lot of teaching on that topic. They're gifted in that way. We know the name Art Sadler. I would suggest he has the gift of knowledge. He is well-versed in prophecy and eschatology. He knows how to teach that subject very well. I was astounded when he came to our church many years ago in McAdam, and he never used a note. He never hardly even flipped his Bible. He had one in front of him, but he just knew it all. He had all those references and all those verses, and he just da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da, and he was so confident, and he was so accurate, and it was so inspiring and so enlightening. You know, you just think, wow, where's this guy been? I need more of this. And it's this blessing of this gift of knowledge, not only that he understands eschatology and the deep things of prophecy and end times, but he has the ability to connect those dots between Daniel and Ezekiel and Isaiah and Revelation and different places in Scripture and to teach it in a way that the rest of us can understand it better. And that's a gift that someone can do that. So that's just one example. There's lots of them. We know the Maharers here at Bethel. I would say that they are gifted in the ability to study out the deep things, the doctrines of God's Word, and then present it in a way that helps the rest of us to understand it. Stand it. How many of us have read those Bible devotionals that Kitty and John? Yeah, so, you know, they have this gift, this ability to put the Word of God, the things that are difficult to understand, across in a way that the rest of us learn and we can understand it. Another example would be a fellow by the name of Danny Jack. Danny Jack has written several books now. And I know that many of us have benefited from those books. I can remember talking to Phil back when I first met him, and we had a conversation about Danny. And he said, oh, I really love his books and his writing, and I always benefit so much when I read, and I always learn something. And Danny is another individual that is clearly gifted with the ability to put things together in a way that we can understand it. The gift of the word of knowledge. Those are just some people that came to my mind. But there's lots of different areas. I mentioned eschatology. What are some other areas where we might imagine someone has been given this gift and they utilize it? Anybody have any thoughts? Yep, that's right. Amen. Doesn't have to be someone that is a professor or a theologian or a Bible scholar. They might end up in those places because of the gift of the word of wisdom. But yeah, Bible studies, conversations, the Lord will, in impromptu situations, help us as Christians. And he gifts different ones of us with the word of knowledge. What about creationism? We've had folks come to our churches that represent this specific teaching. It's so important. And God has gifted them with this word of wisdom that they can clear, word of knowledge that they can clearly teach on this topic and help the rest of the church, other Christians, understand what the Bible teaches about creation, about, you know, the 6 days and the firmament and the universe and all of those sorts of things. And they use science and they use cultural evidence and artifacts and history, and they are able to piece all these things together and instruct us and teach us. Jot it down, creationists and theologians, Bible scholars, cultural historians, those who are linguists, Greek scholars, people that study languages. There are those that are gifted in certain ways that help us understand the Word of God and the way that God wants us to live. So those are some of the examples where this gift specifically might be utilized. It's distinct from the gift of the Word of Wisdom. Here's how. While the Word of Wisdom focuses on applying God's Word, with a timing element there, maybe right there on the spot, the Word of Knowledge often focuses on understanding the deep things or the deep doctrines of God's Word. And there are those out there that I have benefited from immensely that are really good, I would say, gifted in being able to teach the deep things of God's Word. And I would suggest that those folks likely have the gift of the Word of Knowledge. Any thoughts or questions or comments on any of that? The rest of us, not specifically gifted with these things, do our best to muddle through. But we learn from others, and we're able to continue to re-gift these things and send these truths out over and over and over again. So this is the gift of the word of knowledge that's mentioned here in verse 8 of Corinthians. Any comments or thoughts? Yeah, I would say, and they're very similar, but yes, that's right. Yeah, that's right. There are those that are able to pull Scripture out at any moment and just give it to you, and you don't think, you're not even thinking about it perhaps, but they remind you of the Word of God, and they direct you. They direct you away from concern or worry or fear or confusion, and you're just, oh yeah, okay, I'm going to do that. I'm going to trust the Lord. I'm going to pray. I'm going to let a soft answer turn away wrath. Or whatever the verse of Scripture. But yeah, that's right. One is in regards to the understanding, more so, the word of knowledge. The other is in regards to the application, though there are some similarities there. Yeah. Any other comments or thoughts? All right, let's do it. I think we have time for one more for sure. Look at verse 9, it says. So we'll read verse 8 as well again. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge. So those are the first two gifts in this list that are mentioned. Verse 9, to another, faith. Short and simple. That's why it's sometimes hard to understand what the gifts are and what they mean. Just that's it. To some are given the gift of faith. And this one here can be a little bit confusing because as Christians, we all want faith and we all have faith. Matter of fact, faith is necessary. Without faith, we can't be saved. Without faith, it's impossible to please Him. We're supposed to walk by faith, not by sight. So faith is not exclusive to just some Christians. This isn't a gift that only some of us have. Faith is for all of us. We need faith. We need to believe. But there is a specific kind of faith, and I believe that's what this list is referring to. This gift of faith, to another, faith by the same Spirit. Let me read the definition I have. The gift of faith is not a saving faith. Okay, we all have to have that faith. But rather a supernatural, extraordinary measure of faith given to specific believers by the Holy Spirit to accomplish special works. This gift is different from the ordinary faith every Christian possesses. So Galatians chapter 5, verse 22, 23, for example, tells us that one of the fruits of the Spirit is what? It's faith, to grow in faith. So all of us as Christians have faith, and we are to develop it and let the Spirit grow more faith in us. But then there are those who seem to have this reckless, supernatural faith, and we know them. And they encourage us to be faith-filled instead of fear-filled. They encourage us by their faith. And sometimes those people irritate me, quite frankly, because they make it seem so easy. And I love those individuals. This is one of my favorite gifts because it's so inspiring. And it's one of those gifts that I wouldn't say I would covet, but that I want to develop in my own life as much as possible. The gift of faith. Let me read a little further. Supernatural confidence. It is a special spirit-prompted capacity for extraordinary confidence in God's power and promise, enabling a person to trust God against overwhelming odds. And I would add, with a good attitude. There's one name that comes to my mind. I read this fellow's autobiography and some of his own writings. His name is George Mueller. And we know George Mueller. This guy comes to my mind so clearly when I think about the gift of faith. He had faith, but he had a supernatural faith that when we read about his life, we say, Lord, thank you for guys and gals like him and help me to develop my own faith. But George Mueller had a gift of faith that just made people nervous. And we know that. Anybody, if you've not read the life of George Mueller, I'd encourage you to do that. I have a couple of his books. I'd give them to you because you're going to read about a man that sat with 300 orphans in the house behind him waiting for breakfast, and there wasn't a scrap of food in the place. 7 a.m., breakfast is supposed to be on the table, and 7:01, he's praying. By 7:02, the bread truck has broken down outside, and they're starting to carry in the breakfast that God provided. And he shows up at work, trusting that God, I say work, with his responsibilities, trusting in those moments that God would supply. He didn't stay home. He didn't, all is lost. No, he continued to trust. And it's that extraordinary faith that I believe the Spirit of God is talking about here, or the Word of God is talking about. George Mueller, of course, was responsible for at least 5 orphanages that I remember. In his lifetime, he helped not only feed, but educate every orphan that came through his orphanage. He prayed with that was his practice to pray with every one of the orphans. He would make his way through all the orphanages and every child that came. He would pray with every one of them at one point in their time there. He gave every one of them a Bible and a little bit of money before he sent them on their way. Over 10,000 in his lifetime. And actually, after he died, there was over 100,000 more orphans that benefited from his work. And when you read his autobiography, this man had immense faith over and over and over and over again. He would write in his diary, well, don't know what we're going to do about this in the next hour, but I'm going to pray about it and see what happens. An hour and 10 minutes later, well, the Lord answered that prayer. Here's what he did. And over and over and over again. So here's the thing. This is the gift of faith. It's a supernatural confidence. Its purpose is like all the other gifts, to build the church, to protect the church, to edify and encourage the church. Right? It's that one person that says, nah, we'll just trust the Lord, we can do it. And the rest of us are all like, okay, are you sure that's going to be enough? And they're sure. I love those people because it gives you that liberating sense of, okay, yeah, that's what the Bible teaches. And okay, if someone's going to lead the way and they're going to show that kind of faith, then we'll follow you. And so the gift of faith is a special gift for the church. Some of the specific characteristics I'll share here. Number one would be the unwavering boldness that these individuals have within the body of Christ, within the church. They often manifest supernatural courage or extraordinary faith that drives believers to take heroic stands for the future of God's work. How many few men and few women sat around and at the encouragement of one or two said, yeah, we can do this. I trust God is going to answer this prayer. And so we all pray and we all, okay, we're going to go ahead and step out in this. And then we look back and we tell that story. And we say, yeah, there was just a handful of us and we prayed about it. We took a step of faith and da-da-da-da-da, all these years later, look what God has done. Look at this church. Look at this ministry. Look at this salvation. Look at this blessing that God has provided. This gift also, in regards to application, is one that we see on the mission field. How many times do we hear about missionaries that just trust the Lord? We get letters from Cuba from time to time, and that's what they tell us. God is good. We don't have anything, but He's met all of our needs. He's strengthening us. He's providing for us. We're trusting in Him. And it's those that have this gift of faith that rally the troops, that get the rest of us motivated. When we want to, you know, despair and discourage and all is lost, it's those with the gift of faith that remind us God is faithful. He will do what He's promised. And so this gift is so valuable within the church, like they all are. And this is just another one. Finally, again, as I said, this is different than the gift of faith that is mentioned in Galatians. The gift of faith that we all have to have in order to be saved. So I don't want us to think that we can't develop our own faith in our own lives and grow in faith. And I think we should. But then there is this gift of faith that God has enabled some of us to have, some of you to have, that inspires the rest of us to grow in our faith. That's the reason for it. And I'm thankful for that gift. Anybody have any thoughts or comments on the gift of faith? How do we know we have these gifts? We talked about this a little bit last week, I think. As we read through Scripture, I'll give you the first answer. As we read through Scripture, you might be able to notice within yourself, perhaps, that, okay, I can see that the Lord has been revealing this gift in my life. But what's a couple of other ways that we know? That's right. Mostly that's how others tell you. And it's within the body of Christ that those who are gifted and dwelt with the Spirit of God that will go to one another and help each of us, all of us, to know what our gifts are and how to mature in them and to develop them. And it's not an arrogant question to sit down with somebody, a friend or someone you trust, and say, look, I don't know what all my gifts are. I don't know what any of my gifts are. Could you kind of help me with that? Could you pray about that? I just want to know how to develop them. The third way is that we in of ourselves, as the Spirit leads us, we begin to notice in ourselves that, you know, I'm pretty good at doing this specific thing. I can teach, you know, linguistics. I can teach the Greek. I understand it. A lot of people don't understand Greek. I seem to understand it. You know, I think God's gifted me. You know, when I was saved, I started to study. I became interested in Greek, and I really understood it well, and I love to teach it to other people. You know, sometimes we might notice within ourselves that we have these gifts. And the Lord will reveal them to us. Any other thoughts or comments on that gift or anything at all? Okay. So the definition for faith, let me go back to that here, is... it's not a saving faith. So all of us have to have a measure of faith to believe and to be born again. For by grace ye are saved through faith. And so there's a saving faith. That's not what we're talking about. But an extraordinary measure of faith given to specific believers by the Holy Spirit to accomplish special works. Yep. Hebrews gives a great definition. It's the evidence of things hoped for. It's the faith that we have is the evidence that the things that we desire, those God-given desires and hopes that we have, that we already have them. And it's the faith that's the evidence that we have those things. That's just another definition, I guess. Well... it might very well be. And I can't speak to whether or not Peter had this specific gift of faith. We can watch his life and we can surmise, well, it certainly seems like he did. But it's a great example because, I won't say that all those disciples were in the boat, but out of all of those disciples that were in the boat, only one of them got out. Only one of them wanted to go to Jesus and was willing to sort of take that reckless step of faith and get out of the boat and follow Christ. So again, that would, to me, if Peter asked me, do you think I have the gift of faith? I'm like, yeah, you probably do, man. You get out of the boat in the middle of the storm and walk to Jesus, and the rest of us sat in the boat because we were, you know, we didn't want to drown. So you clearly trusted him in a way that we had a struggle to do. But since you've done that, I'm learning to do the same. So great example. Any other comments or thoughts? I would suggest likely that whatever individuals were involved in the establishment of Bethel Baptist Church many, many years ago, the Lord laid upon their heart a desire to share the gospel within this area. And they began to pray, and they began to talk to different folks, and they began to do the legwork, and they began to see God bring together what they believed in faith he wanted them to be a part of. All these years later, the evidence is clear. And the gift of faith that was utilized had a payout. And we're a part of that. And so we see the gift of faith used all throughout the church for God's purposes. Any other thoughts on that one? We got one more we're going to take a look at here this morning. The gift of faith. So I hope as we go through this, it's not confusing or, you know, too difficult to sort of understand or to identify within yourselves or even others these gifts and who might have them. If you have any questions, just let me know. I'll do my best to answer them. But the next gift is the gift of healing. And the gift of healing is one of those gifts that we refer to as a sign gift. So far, those other gifts are assigned gifts. Any of us can have these gifts today, but the sign gifts are unique in that the sign gifts were for a specific season of God's working, the establishing of the church. And it seemed limited mostly to the apostles and a very select number of people within the Bible. You know, when you think about tongues or healing, sometimes we have this idea that there are hundreds and hundreds of people in the Bible that participated in these things. There's only a handful. Certainly in the New Testament, there's only a handful of people that in some way participated in the speaking of tongues or even in healing. Just a handful. There's not dozens even. And so these gifts were limited to a season in the establishing of the church. But now that we have the full Word of God, in other words, we have the Bible is complete and total, we have all of the revelation that God wants us to know, the gift of healing, all of the sign gifts, but this one in particular, is not necessary anymore. We believe that Jesus is who he said he was. He proved it. We don't need any more evidence. We believe that the church was founded by the Lord Jesus Christ. We see it. We read about it. We don't need any more evidence. Right? We're convinced. And we believe what the Word of God tells us. But in regards to the gift of healing, this specific gift, of course, had to do with the ability to bring healing into someone's life that had an ailment. Let me read the definition. The gift of healing is generally understood as a supernatural ability given by the Holy Spirit to certain individuals, enabling them to restore physical health in accordance with God's will. And we can read through the Bible and see this gift demonstrated, whether it was Paul, right? Eutychus takes a little nap during church, falls out the window, dies on the spot. And through Paul's interaction, and of course through prayer, God's will was that he be resurrected, and he was. He came back to life again. Peter participated in those sorts of things, and we see lots of examples within the New Testament in regards to this gift of healing. It's a sign gift, as I mentioned, tied to the early church, and the apostles, and a few other individuals, as I mentioned. And although God still heals today, and there's no biblical reason that God could not empower an individual with a spiritual gift of healing today, God has limited that to that season. Now, does that mean God does not heal today? I think we know the answer to that is no. Of course he heals. And we see it. According to God's will, he often heals us. Not only does he heal us, but he keeps us safe from any things that we never have to pray that he'll heal us from. And we sometimes don't consider that. God, I had 6 sicknesses, and I prayed you only healed me from 5. God might say, yeah, you had 100 others knocking on your door, but I kept those away from you. And we don't always know that. But here's a few points in regards to healing. Number one, healing is always subject to God's sovereign will. When it comes to healing, God heals according to His perfect will. In the Gospels, we read that Jesus Christ would even ask, "Do you believe that I can do this? Do you want to be healed?" And we saw that the Lord Jesus Christ demonstrated it was His will to heal those individuals, and He did. Sometimes it's not always God's will to heal us. And there's evidence in the Bible for that. So what's the evidence? Everybody died. Yeah, that's right. And again, God's will is involved in all of those things and the little details that we don't always understand. Sometimes we'll pray that God will heal someone and then that individual won't be healed and we'll be frustrated with God. And the gift of healing, of course, the way that we understand it biblically, God, you should have just healed that person. That's what we see in Scripture, you know. There was a disciple, there was a sick guy, the disciple healed the sick guy and life got better. Why doesn't that happen today? Well, that season for that specific intervention and that kind of healing has passed. In today's season, let me read another point here. The focus is on prayer and faith rather than a guaranteed human technique. So God does and can still do supernatural, miraculous healing. Often it is through faith. We trust Him, patiently waiting, and through prayer. We intercede. And the Bible teaches us. Pray, the prayers of a righteous man, what? Availeth much. When someone's sick, they come to you, you call for the elders, you pray over them. God's not saying you're wasting your time. The gift of healing is done. God is saying, no, do that. And according to His will, He will bring healing in His way. And we might not always understand the timing of it or the methods, but God absolutely still heals today. And we can see that. Let me read another point here. It's intended to glorify God and confirm the truth of the gospel. That's what happened in the New Testament. As Jesus healed, as those apostles healed, it glorified God. They never took any of the glory for themselves. It glorified God and it brought glory to Christ, not the individuals that had these gifts. And there were different times when the apostles had to say, no, don't worship us. No, we're nothing. We're nobody. Mars Hill is an example of that. It's God who gets the glory. Now, that was a problem for the disciples, the apostles. That was a problem for some of those in this period. Imagine today, if we were all running around and half of us or many of us had this gift of healing, as we are told many do. If we believe today that God heals supernaturally the way that He used to in the Gospels, that people just walk up and touch other people, and boom, they're healed because I want you to be healed, I have this gift, then we would be appalled at the people of God misusing that gift in atrocious ways today, and we would have every right to look at God and say, what are you doing? Where are these faith healers at? Why are they held up in their mansions asking us to send them money and getting us to drag our bodies to their meetings in some way, shape, or form so that we might be healed according to their will for us? And what about the ones that aren't healed? You can heal at will, and yet there are many that aren't. And what about the hospitals and the funeral homes and the war-torn areas? You know, why aren't you going to these areas? Go and heal and help. And so if this gift is or was still in work today, we would have issues, and the world would have issues, and say, wow, the people that claim to have this gift are literally, in most cases, driving people away from God because they're misusing it and misrepresenting it. So is there healing today? Yes. But not in the way that there used to be. Not in the New Testament way as the church was being established. But through prayer, through the will of God and His timing, we can still see God work supernaturally, even with this gift of healing. So the gift of healing today, I would say, for us is faithful prayer. Trusting God and praying that God's will be done and then trusting that that's exactly what's going to happen, that God's will be done. Sometimes God doesn't want to heal, not on this side of glory. But every Christian that leaves this planet through death, no matter how long we pray for them, their prayers are answered. They are fully and completely healed. They are happier than we could ever imagine. And so God does answer every prayer. Every prayer of healing eventually for the believer is answered. But in God's timing. Sometimes now, but sometimes not until later on. Anyway, these are just some of the gifts. Any thoughts as we close here this morning? That's right, yes. No. Yep. Yep. Amen. That's right. That's right. Yeah. Yeah, and it's the misuse of that and the false teachings that can really frustrate people. Because if everybody else is getting a miracle and I don't get one, then God is not fair. He's not just. But maybe if we've misinterpreted these things, and a lot of it is deception, if we start there, then we can help people understand. No, God's healing is this. This is what the Bible teaches. Ultimately, trusting in Jesus Christ, spiritually healed, progressively sanctified, and then ultimately, you are healed forever in every way, shape, or form. Sometimes we don't like to wait, but God's timing is perfect. Anyway, we'll close here this morning. Thank you for your help. Father, thank you for your word and for these gifts that you allow us to utilize and have to bring glory to your name, to build the church. And as we continue through these lists, help us to understand these gifts. And God, help us, each of us, to sort of be able to identify, maybe even not what our gifts are, but certainly to identify those around us that display these kinds of gifts. And then, Lord, as believers, though we might not have these specific gifts or all these specific gifts, we certainly have gifts. And we want to develop them as best we can and grow and mature them. And so, Father, help us to identify them and help us to value the gifts that you give to us, whatever they might be. Bless our morning service, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Thank you, church.